Amen. It's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. I welcome all of you here today at Thrive Church. I want to welcome those who are watching online. My name is Sheldon Miles. I'm the pastor of this church. I know we have a lot of guests who are here today. We're so glad that you have come to worship with us today on this Pentecost Sunday. And I just believe that God has so much more in store for your life. Amen. So we are starting a new sermon series today called More. Everybody say More. More. How many of you just, I want more of Jesus. I need more of Jesus. I believe that God has more in store for my life. I just believe that there is so much more out there that God has for me and has for this church and has for this community. I'm just greedy that way. I just want to see more. Amen? Are you here today? You want to see more in your life, more in your marriage, more in your family, more in your workplace. You want to see more of God. And as we start this series today on this Pentecost Sunday, can we just take that moment and ask Him for more? We just do that right now, right where you're at. Maybe just lift up your hands, and this signifies, God, just I want you to fill me with your Spirit. God, I'm here today, and I just know I need more of you. Lord, I need more of your Spirit in my life. God, I've consumed my life with so many other things, and I recognize my need for more of you, and I pray that you would do just a great thing today as we recognize what happened on that Pentecost day. Lord, we pray that it would happen today here in this place, in my life, more of you, less of me. And everyone said, amen, amen. I just want to give encouragement next Sunday, and it is going to be Father's Day. I want to encourage you, challenge you. You don't want to miss next Sunday. There's going to be just so many great testimonies. We're having Teen Challenge come. Men from the Teen Challenge Center in Green Bay who are going to come and share and give testimonies, and it's such a powerful Sunday. Please get it on your calendar. Make sure you're here. And for our fathers, we have a blessing for you at the end of the service, so make sure that you are here there. So we're starting that sermon series More. And where I get this idea is this passage has always challenged me or as I've read through it. You read about this man named John the Baptist, and he was the prophet who prophesied Jesus. He was the one who came before Jesus. And he makes this profound statement in John 3:30, and this is from the English Standard Version. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He's talking about Jesus here. In other words, Jesus must become more in my life. And the rest of the world, everything else, it must decrease. In other words, he's saying, you know what, I recognize in my life that sometimes that I look in the mirror and I'm like, I just too much of me, too much of my desires, too much of the things of this world that are in my life. And I think John the Baptist is like, listen, there's too much of me in my life. I need to have more of Jesus. That's really what's missing. I have all of these things. I have positions. I have success in business. And I have success in ministry. I have all these toys. I got a boat, a fishing boat. I have a motorcycle, all these things. And I still feel like I'm empty. And I think what John the Baptist was recognized is like what you need is more of Jesus in your life. And I pray that this will become your prayer during this series, is that you would just say, God, I need more of you, and I need less of me. Can you just say that right now, right where you're at? God, I need more of you, and I need less of me, less of myself. I think there's so much discovering more of God comes from putting yourself into position. More of God into your life, it calls for us to put ourselves in position. I attribute to where I am right now as a pastor, it will be 33 years. In fact, on May 17th, 33 years of full-time ministry that I've been a pastor. And I attribute all of that from as a teenager that I put myself in position for things to happen. Let me give you an example. So Aiden talked about going to camp. And again, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. When you tithe to this church, you're actually helping students go to camp. But I went to camp as a teenager, And it was at camp that I felt an overwhelming sense of calling into full-time ministry. And it was also at camp that I received a teaching. And it was at that camp that I remember them teaching me how to have a consistent devotional life. And all you have to do is just put yourself in position for that to happen. And then it was at camp that I received this thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is different than water baptized. How many of you have been water baptized before? All right. If you're a Jesus follower, I encourage you, take that next step in your faith. So that's water baptism. But what I'm talking about today is baptism in the Holy Spirit. There is a difference. And again, so much of receiving more of God is surrendering more of us. Let me say that one more time. So much of receiving more of God comes from surrendering more of us. So today we recognize Pentecost Sunday. And I'm going to do something here. Today I'm going to do a bit of preaching and teaching. So I'm going to preach. Okay? I'm going to preach at you today, all right? And so I just really want to encourage you as you're following along in your notes, some of you, this is like, what? This is going to be a foreign concept. What? I've heard of this, but what? Is that a real thing? And I want to tell you what I'm going to talk about today. It is a real thing because I know it happens in my life. So today, again, Pentecost Sunday, the word Pentecost, if you've heard that word before, it's a Jewish tradition, a true Jewish festival, and it marks 50 days after Passover. Also, it is 50 days after the resurrection. So Easter Sunday was 50 days ago, okay? And in Acts chapter 2, there was approximately 120 Jesus followers who were baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it changed them. It changed their lives. And as a result of it changing their lives, we are here today. The church was born. At that moment, what happened on the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed. As a matter of fact, you are here today. You are worshiping God. And there's services. People are worshiping God all around this world that because of what happened on the day of Pentecost. It changed not only the church, but it changed our world. You see, before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples this, that God was going to send the Holy Spirit as a counselor. He's going to be a counselor. And I should really speak more on what the Holy Spirit means. But one of the things that he is a counselor. And then, so then Jesus tells his disciples this before his death on the cross. And then he dies on the cross, and he rises again from the grave 3 days later. And then after the resurrection, just a few days after that, Jesus gave his disciples these instructions. This is found in Luke 24:49. He says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power." Everybody say power. Fills you with power from heaven. So Jesus just told his disciples he was going to send them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to fill you with his power. And I love that passage in Romans 8:11. It's not in your notes. But there's a passage in there that says this, that you have power in your life. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, it says here the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, who took Jesus off of the cross and rose him out of the tomb, that same Spirit lives in you. Let's just stop and take that in here. If you are a Jesus follower here today, and you invited Jesus into your life, what he did is he placed his Holy Spirit inside of you. So the Holy Spirit's already inside of you. What happens at the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like an overflow. Everybody say overflow. Overflow. It's an overflow of his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is inside of you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. And that same Spirit wants to overflow. Everybody say overflow. Well, it wants to overflow in your life. And Jesus is saying, listen, disciples, these disciples already had the Holy Spirit inside of them. now it was time to overflow. And he was saying, you're going to need this power from on high, but he's going to use them. He's going to use his disciples to change the world. Now look at this, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. This is following along in your notes. Again, Jesus has been resurrected, and he was eating with them, and he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. So the Holy Spirit, the overflowing of the Holy Spirit is a gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. How many of you have been water baptized? Okay, water baptized. You have been baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about two different baptisms here. So this whole thing that I'm sharing about today is not about salvation. This is being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not a requirement for salvation. I just want to just communicate that. You see, Jesus had already breathed onto the disciples the Holy Spirit's salvation, but this baptism was a distinct experience from salvation. It was a gift, and it empowered them. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. It is kind of chilly in here, Paul. Paul, if you could help me out with that, thank you. The disciples had been walking with Jesus for over 3 years, but they still needed some power. Now Jesus was telling them they are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That word baptized means this: to be immersed in water, okay? So we have baptism service here, and again, we have that at baptism service here in just a few weeks. I don't have the exact date, but if you've not been baptized, I'd encourage you to take that step of faith. But we do usually over in this area. And we this is a proclamation to people and saying, listen, my life has changed. This is what Jesus has done in my life. And so I once was lost, and now I'm found. And I gave my life to Jesus, and he took me, and he cleansed me, and he washed me, and he brought me up as a new person. And when we baptize people, I make sure they get completely immersed, completely covered, because there's not one part I want to be missing. I'm going to baptize you. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to completely immerse you in his Spirit. It is an overflowing. Somebody described it to me like this. I like this description. So how many of you know what a pilot light is? You know what a pilot light is? It's that you can look in your furnace, and usually you can see a little hole to see if there's just that little gas flame, just a small little gas flame. And then when your furnace, when it calls for heat to infect the entire environment of the house, it will shoot some gas at that, and all of a sudden it just... Can we all do that together on the count of three? One, two, three. All right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it affects the entire household. That little flame doesn't have much of an effect on the house, does it? No. But when it is infused with power, and once again, on the count of three, one, two, three, and all of a sudden, it feels so warm in this house. This feels good. Well, that's the same idea that Jesus is talking to about his disciples. How many of you have ever met someone who just, they have got to have the Holy Spirit overflowing in their life? And it is just so evident. Man, he just seems to be alive and kicking in their life. And I want you to know this. Just as this gift was for the disciples, it is also for you today. God has a gift for you. And this gift is for everyone who is in Christ. And I'll tell you this. If God wants to give me a gift, if God wants to give all of you a gift, I want it. You know what I mean? If he's got a gift for me, like I'm super curious. I know Michelle's going to get me a really nice Father's Day gift. I've been really good this year. I've been really trying hard, and I want that gift. And it's kind of, you know, that kind of anticipation. You got a gift for me? Really? Seriously? Like, what is it? I'm really curious. Well, just think, if your Heavenly Father has a gift for you, man, I want that gift. Man, whatever that is, God, I want that gift from you. So in Acts chapter 1 through verse 14, so what do they do? It says, and they all joined together constantly in prayer. What the disciples did is that the 120 of them, they just got together and they just started praying. Like, okay, you told us to stay in Jerusalem and to pray for this gift that you have for us. Not sure what this is all about or what it's going to look like. It seems kind of confusing. I don't understand. But sometimes that's how gifts are, right? I don't know what it's going to look like or how it's going to impact my life. But all I know is it's good because my Father's got a gift for me. And it's going to change me. It's going to change the world. So here I am. I'm just praying. Just praying, God, whatever you have for my life. All I know is you must become more and I must become less. God, I don't understand all of your ways. I just know I need more of you. And if this is more of you, then so be it, Lord. I'm just going to surrender all of me. And then look what happened here in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, with some of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It says, on the day of Pentecost, which we are here today, some 2,000 years later, on the day of Pentecost, all of the believers were meeting together in one place, kind of like today. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled in each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. The other word that is used is tongues. They began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So here's what they were doing. They were just doing just one thing. They were just seeking God. Just seeking God. Isn't it interesting how so many times this, that's just the best thing that we can do, just to seek God. God, I'm just in this place, knowing I need more of you, and I'm just seeking more of you. And suddenly, they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. God poured his Spirit out on them in such an incredible way, and it revealed himself to them in a powerful way. Notice the words, the metaphors that are used here. The metaphors are, number one, wind, and number two, fire. Okay, so wind, it said here, it was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. You see, the Spirit in the Bible is often depicted as wind. Wind is used. You see, the reason why I think they use the analogy of wind is because you cannot see the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You can't exactly explain how. We have ideas of how it works, but you just feel and you experience the effects of the wind. That's what you do. And so it's just like God. Can't necessarily put our eyes on God, but we see the effects of God. We just know. The Bible says that's how you can know that God exists. You just see the evidence of God everywhere. And so they use the word fire. Said that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. You see, the Spirit of God is often referred to as a fire. When you look back in the Old Testament, there was a God provided for them this pillar of fire at night. So as he's leading the slaves out of Egypt, the Israel slaves, God would appear to them like as a fire in the sky, and they would know how to. They would know they had light at night that they can walk at night when God was telling them to, and then the fire would stop and they would stop. And so he was leading them, he was guiding them, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. But not only this, but fire is used as a word for consecration. And consecration is kind of a cleansing of the impurities, and that's what the Holy Spirit also does in our lives. Because sometimes we just got stuff. We just got stuff in our lives that just needs to be dealt with. But those things don't get dealt with until we surrender those things. Say the word surrender. I just want to encourage you today, if you're wrestling with what I have to say to you, I just encourage you, don't surrender to what I'm saying. Surrender to what God has for your life. Surrender. And again, I must become less, he must become more, but I'm going to have to surrender some things so that he can become more. I want the Holy Spirit to consecrate me, to reveal those things that are in the way, and then as I give those things to him, he takes care of them. You see, that's what they did with gold. They consecrate gold back then, and they would put it in this melting pot, and they would heat it up so much with this fire below it, and then they were able to kind of clean off the junk that was in that gold so that that gold could be pure gold. That's what I want to be. I want to be pure gold in the eyes of God. Luke tells us they experienced this thing called tongues. And this is where a lot of people get tied up here, okay? Tongues. Tongues is the ability to speak in a language you've never learned before. Let me say that one more time. Tongues is the ability to speak a language you've never learned. It's not your normal language. You see, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they immediately began to speak in other tongues. Now, there's two types of tongues that are talked about in the Bible that people experience. First of all, there was the tongues of a human language. Now, when we talked about in Acts chapter 2, when they experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, remember, they are in this upper room, and they're praying and seeking God. He pours out his Holy Spirit, and they begin to go out into the streets of Jerusalem. Time out. Pause. Put this on pause here real quick. You need to understand where they're at and what had just happened. What had just happened some 50 days before in the streets of Jerusalem, they took Jesus and marched him through the streets, and what they're sending is a message. Don't do what this man did. Don't be a follower of this man. Because if you choose to be a follower of this man, this same thing could happen to you. So these disciples, they're part of this Jesus guy. They're guilty by association, and it's just kind of safe to stay in that upper room, and let's just stay here and pray till things calm down out there. But it says when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were no longer afraid, concerned, or worried, but they went out and they began to boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And they began to speak in other tongues. In other words, there were people, there was kind of it's kind of like a Chicago, Jerusalem is, because there's people from all different walks of life, different countries that were there. And people are like, how did that person know my language? Like, well, how does that guy know my language? Like, are you from here? Because you're from Jerusalem, right? And so there was human language, and people were speaking a language that was not their own, that was given to them. But there's also this other language that is talked about in the New Testament that is called a personal prayer language, or some people refer to it as a heavenly language. Anybody here, you just raise your hand if you understand what I'm talking about. You have experienced and you have a heavenly language. Okay, so there's people around this room who have experienced and you have a heavenly language. You see, tongues is a prayer language given to you that transcends the limitations of human language. Let me say it one more time. Tongues is a prayer language given to you that transcends the limitations of human language. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, "For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious." So we're all limited by our words. Do you realize that really most of us, we only have a limit of like, we know like 5,000 English words, and that's about it. But what it does, tongues enables us to express to God what is really going on in our spirit. So let me give you an example here, okay? So I've talked about this before. I'm a chaplain for the fire department. Wausau Fire Department. And I've been a chaplaincy here for about 15 years at a different fire station in De Pere. And periodically, I get called out into the middle of the night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, just woken up from sleep. And they just say, hey, can you show up at this address? We got da, 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 da. And I usually don't hear, like, you got a what? A what? A what? And like, yeah, I'll be there. Just text me the address, I'll be there. So I usually don't know what I'm walking into. All I know is that it was urgent enough for them to call the chaplain to show up on scene. So, of course, when I'm driving there, I don't know how, I have any idea how to pray. Like, I just, Lord, help me. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know how to pray. But God already knows. I believe that God has called me to go to this scene for some reason. I was called into that situation. And so that entire ride, I will pray in my heavenly language that God has given to me. I will pray in tongues. And what I'm doing there is I'm directly connecting with God like I could not do in my own flesh. And what really is happening, my spirit within me is connecting with God's spirit. And in my mind, I have no idea what I'm saying. I just know that I am connecting with God, and that's what I need for that situation. And I'm telling you, I walk into situations that people call me into, and I'm like, oh, my word, God is showing up all over the place here. Oh, my goodness, what's happening here? How many of you just know when you're in a God situation, God has positioned you. That happens to me all the time when called in those situations. I want you to know, during our worship time, I stand over here. Half the time, I'm praying in tongues. Because like, Lord, I don't know what you have in store for this service today, but I'm asking for more of you. And I can't even express it with my English words. I can't express it. So God, I just go into this heavenly language. I'm connecting with you. Connecting with you. Tongues is the sign that you have received the baptism. So you know that you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit because the manifestation, you will begin to speak in tongues. All right, just stick with me. Hang with me here. Acts chapter 1:8 explains the purpose. Everybody say the purpose. You have to grasp because people have taken this and twisted it for their own purposes. There is a purpose for this language, and it's legit, okay? Acts chapter 1 through 8, verse 8. This is right before the baptism happened. Jesus says, well, you will receive power. Everybody say power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The purpose is to be empowered. The word empowered means to put power within you. There's going to be a power that you don't have on your own, a spiritual power you do not possess yourself. And what is going to happen is he's going to empower you, he's going to fill us with spiritual power. How many of you want more spiritual power in your life? It's like, man, I can't do this. I can't do this. What needs to happen can only happen through God's power. So they were empowered to live righteously. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm just going to explain what happens to me, okay? But the Holy Spirit, he just seems to have a more of a conviction. And a conviction is a good thing. Conviction is like, just challenge me. Like, hey, I'm not sure that's so right for you to do that. Hey, I think you know, that would be the wrong thing for you to do in your life. I think you should do this. I just sense his voice speaking to me. I sense clarity on how to live my life to please God. I feel like I get counsel from the Holy Spirit. When I come to him, like, Lord, I'm not sure what to do in this situation. I just need your counsel. And I also get this. I get this thing called courage to do what he's called me to do. But he also does this. He equips me to live on mission. Listen to me. God's got a plan and purpose for your life. He's got a mission. He's got a mission for your life. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a mission. You're on mission. All right? So don't take it easy. Don't just come and be a consumer. You're called to be a contributor. Time out here real quick. There are positions in this church that some of you have the spiritual gifts to serve or lead in. I want to challenge you, don't come to Thrive Church and be a consumer. Come to Thrive Church and be a contributor, working through the gifts that God's called you. I'll take it unpaused and let you think about that. But God has called you to join this mission of life change. And you're going to need this equipping because you have a great task ahead of you. God's got a plan and purpose, a great task for each and every one of you. And Jesus he wants to pass his mission. What he did when he was here on this earth, and he's running, and he died on the cross, he rose again, and then he's taken. I was just at a track meet here a few weeks ago, and these guys who are running the relay race, they got that baton, and they're running, and then they're passing on the baton. That other person is grabbing that baton behind. Can we, everybody, just kind of do like this right here? Just do right here, because I'm going to receive that baton here. Got the baton in my hand. Okay, I'm going to continue this race, because the race is not over. And God's got a baton, and he's like, hey, take the baton. Take it. You got to grasp it. God's got a mission for your life, but you're going to need his power to fulfill that mission. And this is what Zechariah 4:6, and my dad used to just remind me of this, son. When you're in ministry, you get the big head, you get a big church, you got a lot of stuff going on, you might have success, but I want to remind you, son. My dad really didn't talk like that, but it just sounds like a cool dad voice. This passage is not in your notes, but he would just remind me, it's not by might, nor by power, nor by your good looks. You can respond to that one if you wanted to. Right, sweetheart? But it's there, but it's not by that. By your personality or your preaching or your just personality and your intelligence. Your creativity. It's not that. I mean, those things are good things, but he says it's by my spirit. It's by my spirit. And some of you got a lot of good things going on in your life, but if you really want to make a difference in the kingdom of God, it's by my spirit. That's why we just declare that we here at Thrive Church, our first core value is we are going to be spirit led. Because it's not by might, not by power. It's by his spirit, says the Lord. And anything good that happens in or through Thrive Church, it's by his spirit, says the Lord. Can I get an amen to that? It's a Pentecostal service here. So what he's saying is you do your part, you let God do his part. And there was two different responses from the crowd of people, because they're going out to this crowd of people. And some says that they were amazed. They're like, what in the world? Something is going on here that is not natural. You know what? Something that is not natural, you know what that word is called? It's called supernatural. They recognize something is going on here that is not natural. It is supernatural. And there are some people, and this is kind of funny, they disregarded it and like, these guys are drunk. These guys are drunk. But here's the problem with that, especially in that culture. Like, nobody... No, I know you know some people here today. This is an American culture, but back in that culture, nobody got wasted that early in the morning, and that, especially not a big group of party like that. But they said they must be drunk because this cannot be natural. What's interesting is when you look back, look at the effect this baptism had on its disciples, especially this disciple Peter. What happens is a changed life, a marked change, anything. Peter, before his baptism, he was just an ordinary guy, just an ordinary person. Ladies, I want to include you in it, just an ordinary person, just going to church. He's a fisherman. He's just doing his own thing. And then Jesus invites him, just this ordinary guy, like, hey, off the streets, hey, you want to be my disciples? And if you understand the context, that was strange in itself. You know, rabbis didn't invite people like Peter, but Peter got invited. And so he joins the crew, and he's following Jesus. A good show to watch is The Chosen. How many of you are watching The Chosen? You see a lot of this come to life, what I'm talking about here. But Peter was just kind of became a leader of the pack, but not so much by what he did, but just he ran his mouth a lot. Peter was one of those guys who was a lot of talk, but he would drop the ball so many times. You know, if you played football, you hand the ball to that guy, and he's fumbling all the time, okay? He's got so much potential, but he keeps fumbling the ball, and that's what Peter was doing. And he was just kind of impulsive. And Jesus, in fact, one time he calls him, he says, Peter, you're going to be the rock. I'm going to name you Peter because you're going to be the rock. But he just kind of was like a rock head. And then it was just a real defining moment, a failure in Peter's life. Because just before Jesus was crucified on the cross, Peter denied Jesus three times. So he's weak. But after this baptism, this weak, cowardly man who just could talk the talk but couldn't walk the walk, something happened in him. Something happened. Because when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was no longer afraid or timid. But Peter went out. You see this. It's like you're reading two different people here. And he went out into the streets. And again, I told you how dangerous it was. And he boldly proclaimed Jesus, the King of Kings. And he boldly challenged these people to repent. And he is unafraid. And then you see the rest of the story of Peter throughout the New Testament. And you see this same bold and courageous man. What happened? I believe that what happened at the baptism changed his life. It changed his life. Because he surrendered all of Peter so that he can have more of Jesus in his life. And it said that on that day, 3,000 people, because of the message that Peter was proclaiming, 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus that day. Lives were changed in Jesus' name. Here's the big idea. The same Spirit that fell on these 120 disciples in the room is available to us today to fill, empower, and equip us. I want to talk to you today about how to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, some of you are like, man, this is so off the wall, but would you just listen, hear me on this, and then you pray about it. The first thing I challenge you to do is to remove the barriers, okay? This is good for anybody here. Remove the barriers. Find a place where you can connect with God. That's why I say tonight is Pentecost Sunday. We're just going to come. There's just going to be a place for you to come and just worship. But I don't want you to come and sing a bunch of songs. No. I want to invite you to just come and pursue God and deal with the barriers. What are the barriers? Sometimes it's the sin in our lives. Acts chapter 2, 38 through 39. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And some of you, the only way you're going to receive more of God is for you to surrender your pride, to surrender your unforgiveness, to surrender your sin, to surrender all that you have to God. That's the only way. You need to remove the barriers. Here's the deal. Listen to me. Undealt with sin will hinder God's gift every single time. When you don't deal with the sin and you don't deal with the unforgiveness, and you just sitting there wondering, I just haven't had the experience of God. I just feel like my spiritual life is dry. I would tell you this. Do you have stuff in your life? Do you have sin in your life that you're not dealing with? Do you have pride in your life? Let me continue here. Number two, I would tell you, desire more of him in your life. You see, the disciples, they got in this room and like, we just desire this gift. I don't know what it is. I'm so excited. But I don't understand it. I can't explain it. I just want more of God. Can we just say that with me? I want more of God. I want more of God in my life. And you begin to approach God with not your to-do list, but you approach God with a desire. When that's all that you want, God, I'm not here to ask you of anything else except more of you. God, you must become more. I must become less. Ephesians 5:18, I love this passage here. It says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I had somebody tell me this years ago. It just really stuck with me. He says, you know why people pursue to get drunk? Why they party a lot? You know why they do it? Because they want to be filled with a spirit that is not their own. Think about that. People, there are some people, the only way they can have fun and have peace and joy in their life, so they think, is to get drunk. I don't want to ask you to raise your hand, but many of you, you know that the people, that's the only way they can just, because they're not happy with the spirit that's already in them. That's why they call it spirits, literally. It's spirits, because they want to be filled with the spirit that is not their own. And Paul is saying, listen, what if you began to desire the spirit of God instead of desiring the spirit of this world? Because we all know where that spirit of the world leads to. And some of you, you have people in your life where that's the spirit of this world has led to multiple problems, and they keep accumulating. Third thing I would tell, let me just talk to you real quickly here. Be careful. I had a friend years ago, a golfing buddy, a pastor of a Free Methodist church. Free Methodist Church, I promise you, would not be communicating this message that I'm sharing with you today, because they're not confident that this gift of the Holy Spirit is for today. They believe it was for back then. And so a pastor friend of mine and we were golfing one time, and I got to know him, and there was just something different. Remember I was telling you, like, you ever just meet somebody who they're just overflowing with something? And as I got to know him, Steve, I'm like, Steve, I just have to ask you something, man. The way you talk and the way you live your life, I got to ask you, like, have you experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit before? And he's like looking around like, shh, can't tell people in my church, man. I get in trouble for that. I'm like, well, how did it happen? He says, man, he goes, I've talked to you about this before. My church is so dry. People just kind of go through the motions of religion. He says, man, I'm preparing my message one Saturday morning, and I'm in my office, and I just go into the auditorium. He says, man, I just laid myself out on the altar, and I just said, God, there's got to be more. God, there's got to be more. You see the desire rising up. God, there's got to be more than this. God, whatever it is, I just want more of you. Just that desire, I want more of you. I need more of you. You must become more. I must become less. And he said, bang. This overwhelming sense came over me. And I just began to speak in this tongue. And this electricity, this excitement, this something happened. I can't explain it. He says, I looked it up more. And I experienced the thing that my denomination says I don't believe in. I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's changed me. It's changed me. I just want you to know that same spirit that he poured out on his disciples happens to today. And what happens is we just request the gift. We just ask and believe, and we receive him by faith. Just quickly share with you just my thought here. When I was at youth camp, the same thing. I had been called to become a pastor. And I just knew that there was more. And I remember in a service like this, the communicator talking about more of him in your life. And I just remember as a teenager, I must have more. I want more of you. And so he invited us up to the altar time. And I just laid out before God. And I just like, God, I just want more of you in my life. Kind of like my friend Steve. And just like, oh, I'm just going to worship you. And bang, it happened. And I just remember this as energy, this excitement. It came over me. And I just began to speak in this other language that was not my mind. And I remember this. I remember this thought. I remember my mind saying, what are you doing? Like, why are you making this noise? This makes no sense at all. But I also remember my spirit saying, oh, but this makes all the sense in the world. Just let this go. Just surrender. It changed my life. And I now have this prayer language that I pray. That this morning, I want you to know, I was praying for this church in my heavenly prayer language. I feel like the power of God working in me and through me. I just want you to know that same power is for you today. So I'm going to ask you, first of all, if you are here today, the main thing is relationship with Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Are you at peace with God today? That's where it starts. And if you're not today, if you're here today, you're visiting, it's like, you know what, I need Jesus in my life. That's the main thing. You can invite him into your life right now. Just say, God, I need you. recognize what you did for me on the cross and that you rose again on that third day. You paid the price for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Come live in my life. Place your spirit inside of me. Change me from the inside out. I choose today to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray.